Well, as I said, we've got something different, something special for you today. Five for five. We've never done this before as a church, but I've seen this before live, and it's awesome. John, you can cut that track. And so we have five preachers with five different sermons for 5 minutes each, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be short and impactful. And so right now I'm going to ask our five preachers to come on up and find one of these seats. Let's just give them a hand. We'll introduce them in a second. Yeah. And one more. There he is. Awesome. So let me introduce you to you our preachers before we explain this a little bit. This is Pastor Kirsten Berthoden. Give her a hand. Pastor Kirsten, married to Pastor Riley. They are both new to the team. She's working with our welcome team and events, and we're excited to hear her share today. Over here is Kalia Harrington. Give her a hand. Kalia is married to Pastor Brett, who was just singing, and she also helps with our youth ministries, does an awesome job there. Most of you wouldn't see her there, but super integral to that team. Over here is Orlin Enns. Give him a hand. Orlin's been around for a while. Orlin was actually in ministry as a younger man, vocationally, but has been in ministry ever since then, just in a different capacity, and super integral to so much we do at the church. This is Chris Sewell. Give him a hand. Chris is one of our pastoral apprentices, and again, working particularly in our youth ministry, and will be helping run Alpha in the new year. And over here is Mike Lang. Give Mike a hand. You'll see Mike in all kinds of different areas of the church as a host, on the prayer team, and different areas of service. And so we're super excited to hear all of these guys share and just tell us what God has put on their heart. So they all have an assignment of a five-minute sermon, but the stakes are high. This is a fun event. There's supposed to be high energy. The stakes are high because while each of them is preaching, this will be on the screen. Okay? This is legit. There's no like, oh, just let me finish this last point. There's no, and when that hits zero, this is what happens. Okay? We're serious about this. And so as soon as they're, and maybe some of them will be 4 minutes and 49 seconds, and they'll just, you know, say amen or whatever, and the buzzer will go off. And as soon as that happens, what's your job? There we go, yeah. But you can do better than that. I can hear some whoop whoops, some amens. You can stand and wave a hanky. You can just get excited after each of these sermons, okay? Does that sound good? Okay, so we're just going to get into it. Yeah, okay. We're getting warmed up. We're going to get into it. Just 1 second. All right, we are going to start with a prayer, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Kirsten to get started. Father in heaven, thank you so much for these five who you have called and anointed and given a word today. We pray, Lord God, that you'd bless them, fill them with your spirit. And God, I pray that this morning would be powerful. In Jesus' name, amen. So welcome, Kirsten.
Good morning. All right, 5 minutes. Let's get into it. So when I was younger, my parents will tell you that I was a very dramatic child. Very dramatic. And there was this one time that I remember, I was probably about 10 years old, and I had done something to warrant a punishment, and this punishment was different than the others. This punishment was my first grounding. So I was grounded to my room. I wasn't allowed to leave unless it was like dinner or I had to use the washroom, but I wasn't allowed to leave my room. And I just remember thinking, this is the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. So I was in my room, losing my mind, thinking, this is it, this is the end, I'm never getting out of this. And I could see my siblings outside of my window, playing outside. It was summer, it was so nice out. And so I opened my window, just believing so strongly that I wasn't gonna make it. And I began to tell them all of my belongings that they could have if I didn't make it. There were tons of tears, I was bawling my eyes out, wasn't gonna make it to the end, but about 20 minutes later, my mom came in and said, you can go outside and play, you've served your time. So I know that this story is just one of a kid who is very dramatic. But the feelings that I felt in that moment are real feelings that most of us have or will feel at some point in our lives. Feeling like a hard situation might not ever end, a painful circumstance won't end, that nothing good could ever come of what you're going through. Thankfully, there's something that we can hold on to, something that we can cling to in those seasons of life. So Romans 5, 1-5 says this, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." So since it's only 5 minutes, I want to focus on one specific thing that Paul says here. He says, rejoice. So I have a friend that has this phrase that he says all the time, and it is, choose joy. And most of the time when I hear him say this, I think to myself, yeah, that's awesome. That's a great reminder. But other times when I'm going through something difficult or something hard, I think, if only you knew. You wouldn't be saying that if you were going through this situation. But after reading this passage in Romans and thinking about that phrase, choose joy, I get it. Paul says that we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. So I looked into the word rejoice a little bit, and a synonym for rejoice is joy. It's to have joy. See, what Paul is getting at in this passage when he says that we can rejoice is that we can have joy in those hard seasons, in those painful times in life. We can have joy because of what Jesus did on the cross, because we can hold on to that hope that he brings. We know that he has won the battle, that he is the one that brings hope, that brings peace, and brings life. So how do we choose joy? We choose Jesus. We cling to his promises. We spend time in his word being encouraged, and we spend time in worship and prayer. We allow those that are around us to surround us in prayer and in love. We choose joy by being obedient to God, because he is the only one who brings true joy. The kind of joy where we can rejoice in trials and hardship. And what a testament to the goodness of our God that we may rejoice amidst the pain because of what he has done for us, because he loves us, because he loves you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for what you did on the cross to bring us hope and to bring us joy in times that are hard. Because God, you know hard times. Jesus, I just pray for anyone in this room that is going through something difficult. Jesus, would you give them peace and would you give them joy? We ask this in your name. Amen.
Good morning. Again, for those who don't know me, I'm Kalia, and I'm married to the handsome man that leads worship every Sunday. This morning, I wanted to talk about giving Jesus your worries and your fears and finding rest in him. Each year, I feel like I learn a little bit more of God's heart, learning that he is gentle and loving, but also has a firm instruction over me. This past year has had some challenges, so I've been learning boundaries and forgiveness and learning to love people who have hurt me. And so this morning I wanted to share a little bit about what God has been teaching me, and I hope it will speak to you as well. The verse that I've been clinging to is Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This verse gives me peace, hope, and security. What a privilege we have that when we go through hard times, he is with us and actually tells us to give him our burden so we can rest. He wants all of our anxieties and our hurts and sufferings. We just have to make the choice to give it to him and to choose the peace and joy that he promises. God hasn't designed us to carry the burden of worry and fear. but often we do. We take on the stress from the situations that are beyond our control. He wants us to rely on him and trust in him for all of our needs and wants. In Matthew 6, verse 25 to 27, Jesus says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" In one of Charles Stanley's messages, this just resonated with me and I wanted to share it with you. And he says, "When you focus on the trouble and the burden and the pain and heartache, it feels a lot bigger. We feel less confident and we feel less significant and overwhelmed. When we obey God and we focus on him, we're going to have peace and a sense of joy and confidence and assurance. It doesn't matter what's going on because he's in control and he's taking care of it." There are so many stories in the Bible that have great examples of leaders following God. But the one that stood out to me was the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they trusted God. And they experienced a life-saving miracle that only God could do. So in Daniel 3, verse 15, kind of to 25, it says, Nebuchadnezzar told them, "Now when you hear the sound of the horn, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand." So these men, wearing robes, trousers, and all of their clothes, were bound and thrown into a blazing furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and said, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" And they replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. The fourth looks like a son of the gods." So here are three men who have been commanded by King Nebuchadnezzar to bow down to idols. If they don't bow down, they're going to be thrown into the furnace. But with confidence, they tell the king they won't be bowing to any idols. So the king has them thrown into the furnace. And while he is watching the furnace, it says he leaps to his feet in amazement, and he sees four men. He sees the three young men and Jesus walking through the furnace untouched. There aren't any verses in this passage about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego overthinking or second-guessing the decision to not bow down and worship. They trusted God with everything. They said with confidence that God would deliver them, and he did. Will you trust God when life throws a curveball? And will you rest in him? When I'm caught up in my thoughts and overthinking and second-guessing things, I have to remind myself that God is in control, and he's telling me to come to him and rest. I look at this past year and see that God has had his hand on my life, and that gives me peace and joy, and I'm so grateful for that.
Good morning and Happy New Year, Bethel. Happy New Year, yes. Isn't it hard to believe that we only have a few days left in this current year and we're just about ready to face a new year, 2020? And as Joyce and I were driving to church this morning, we thought about 2020, that a good prayer would be that we have perfect spiritual vision in 2020. Not a good, yes. None of us know what is going to be happening this year. None of us know what is going to be happening this year. And it's probably a good thing. As I look across the congregation and people that I know that some of us have gone through some unexpected hardship in the last number of years. And it has literally changed some of our lives forever. The other thing is sometimes we get unexpected blessings, which is always a real treat. We don't often think of that. And hardships often come in different shapes and sizes. And it has no respecter of persons. It can happen to young people, it can happen to older people. And hardships are unexpected. You never know what is going to come your way. Because we don't know what might happen to us, we can't predict how we will respond or react should hardship come in this new year. And Scripture has provided at least five assurances or truths that we can hang on to. And it's a good thing to think of this in advance of hard times that could be coming our way this year. First of all, God knows what's coming our way. Isn't that a comfort to know that? His knowledge is perfect. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Psalm 139:3 says, "You are familiar with all of my ways." And again, a great comfort. Secondly, we know that God deeply loves and cares for each one of us. There are scriptures everywhere that remind us of God's great love for us. And I love that verse that says that he has written each one of us on the palm of his hand, engraved our names on his hand. He'll never forget about us. What a great comfort. The other thing is, a thing that we can hang on to is God knows exactly what we're going to need at the time of hardship. He knows exactly what we need. Matthew 6:8 says, "Our Father knows what we need even before we ask him." And again, that's a great comfort. God has promised to equip us with his grace. And grace means enabling power. So when we face a difficult circumstance, God will give us enabling power to walk through it. And the fifth assurance or truth that we can hang on to is God literally wants us to give that situation to him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And casting has the idea of a fisherman that would throw his net on the water just to let it go and give it to him. I wanted to close with my dad. My dad was a pastor, and he traveled a fair amount. And this was his favorite Bible verse. He would often send us a card when he was away, and he would always, invariably, leave us with this verse, Nahum 1:7. "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he cares for those who trust in him." Thank you.
He had like 30 seconds left. Do I get an extra 30 seconds? No? Okay. Hi, I'm Chris. I was very, very thankful for being able to share with you guys. I had an interesting fall. I had an interesting fall that I experienced where I broke my elbow. And I learned a lot of patience. And one thing that C.S. Lewis said in his one of his books was that pain is God's megaphone to rouse the dead. And I thought that was really interesting, and I have three things that I sort of wanted to share with you guys that I learned while I was in recovery. And the thing that happened was my elbow was disconnected from where it was supposed to be. And in the same way, when we don't know who God is or what Jesus has done, we are disconnected from what God has done, and we are broken, and we need that connection. We might not understand what that connection is. I didn't understand how the doctor would sort of put everything back where it was supposed to be, but when he did, when I woke up thinking, oh, did this really just happen, and looked at my arm in a sling, I saw that the doctor had put the connection back in place where I couldn't do it myself. We can't make the connection ourselves. And when it came to this, I really was reminded of what Jesus said in John 4:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When Jesus died on the cross, he made a way where we couldn't make one. Where we thought that maybe we could, you know, do things on our own and live in our lives disconnected, but it was like an arm that couldn't move because we couldn't reach out to God without him reaching out first. Now, I wasn't completely healed when I broke my arm. I still had a lot of healing left to do, and I'm still in physio. And in the same way, when we come to Jesus and we say, yes, I believe that you are the Son of Man, that you did die on the cross for me, and that connection is made, he can start healing right away, but he doesn't do it all right at once. But I'm in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. It says, therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light is momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what we see, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Thank you, God, for that. We can trust in God that in every trial and every trouble, in the things that we might see right in front of us that hurt, that we can allow him to heal the things that hurt in our hearts and our lives and give him control and start taking it on our own. Because when I broke my elbow, I could barely grip anything. And I was disconnected, and I knew right away that something was wrong, but I didn't know exactly how to do anything about it until the doctor set in place. And in the same way, when Jesus came and he set things right again in our lives, which I'm so thankful for, he made it so that we were actually able to live lives even better than we were before, and live lives for him that are going to be far greater than if we had tried to live disconnected from him. Thank you, Jesus, for that truth.
All right, 5 minutes, here we go. So I believe that God's put something on my heart this morning that I hope will encourage some of you, challenge some of you. So we're going to go to John chapter 11. I have a couple of verses here I want to read here, and we're going to talk about the story of Lazarus. So in verse 1, it says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Next, we skip to verse 17, where Jesus and his disciples are now going into the town where Lazarus lived. Verse 17 says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. So there's 2 points that really stuck out to me when I was reading this. And the first point was, even though Jesus deeply loved Lazarus, he delayed in coming to heal him. And normally by human standards, we would think when we see Jesus, we pray to him, we expect him to answer us right away. We expect him to be there immediately for us. But Jesus delayed. So how many of us here this morning can relate to this? As we go into 2020, maybe this past year, maybe for many, many years, you've been praying for something and asking God, and God has delayed. He hasn't answered you. He hasn't come immediately as the holy vending machine, so to speak, like we sometimes expect. We put the money in, we put the prayer in, and the answer comes out, right? And so I see something here that Jesus' delay never means that he loves us any less. So even though he delayed to go to Lazarus, which I believe was calculated, which we'll get to in a moment,
I believe it showed something. He knew something more. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So our second point is Jesus shows up when Lazarus is dead. He showed up at the moment where all hope was lost. By Jewish traditions or superstition, they believed that the spirit of a body typically was around there for about 3 days. But it says that Jesus showed up on the fourth day. So why is that? I think Jesus did that on purpose. He showed up at the moment when they had given up all hope, when they thought there was nothing that could be done anymore. That's when Jesus showed up. So without reading the rest of the story, obviously the spoiler alert is Jesus resurrects. We know that. He resurrects Lazarus. So I want this scripture this morning to be an encouragement this morning for each of us. As we go into 2020, maybe, like I said, there's things that you've given up on. There's things that you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed for, and there's been no answer. But I believe that Jesus is on the way. He is on the way, even though you may not feel it. We sing that song, Waymaker. Even when I don't feel it, even when I don't sense that you're coming, he is on the way. And it may not, the end result of that may not be exactly what we want. It may not be, you know, we pray for healing and we get exactly what we want. But Jesus came and he gave resurrection. He showed two things. He showed not only a miracle. If he would have came initially, he could have just healed Lazarus. But when he showed up, he gave resurrection, full restoration, and he showed a foreshadow of his own death when he would resurrect, that he had the ultimate power. So when Jesus shows up in a situation, I believe this morning, he will make it even better than sometimes what we can ask for. And again, it may not look exactly the way we want it to or the way that we think it should. So this morning, if there's, for example, if you have healing that you need, if there's a financial issue that you're praying for, if there's a relationship that you've been praying for to be restored, or a child, maybe a son or a daughter who's walked away from Jesus, pick it up again today. And believe Jesus for it, that he will work something even greater than you could think of that for. So I just want to pray over this morning. Jesus, I pray right now for every person here this morning, as we go into this new year, Lord, I pray if there's been people who have given up hope, if there's people who have laid down dreams even that you've put in their heart for, Jesus, they would pick it up again and say, Jesus, even though you haven't come through in the way I've expected you to, you feel like you've delayed, I feel like you've abandoned me even, but you promised in your word that you would never leave us and that you would never forsake us. So Jesus, we just like Lazarus, we may feel like we are in complete darkness, we are in the grave, but Jesus, this morning, I pray that you would resurrect people. You resurrect, Lord. You bring the healing that's needed, Lord. You bring the connection that's needed between relationships, Lord. You provide for people who are in need this morning. And you would show up on the scene, Jesus, at just the right time. So we thank you, Jesus. We praise you this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Would you stand with me, please? Let's just give one more hand to all of our preachers today. Just hang on to that. I believe it's important at this point, just with the messages that we've heard today, that we need to take a moment in prayer and give the new year to Jesus. I mean, it's already his, but this act of laying it down to say, I'm not going to try to control this. I'm not going to try to manipulate it. I may have some plans. I may have some goals, but it's all in his hands. And there is the cliched statement that is true. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And so let's walk into 2020 with faith. Let's walk into 2020 believing for perfect spiritual vision. You know, as close to that as the Lord will bless us with. Hoping that he, as we trust him, will prove himself once again to be good every single day, every single year, and into eternity. Would you just raise your hands with me if you want to join me in this, and let's just lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus, your name is above every other name. Your name is the one with the mighty power to save. Your name means the Lord saves. And so in every situation, with every goal that we have in mind, with every plan that we have in place, or maybe we're in a situation where we can't even think about even tomorrow because today's worries are so burdensome, we start just by lifting up your name. And knowing just that proclaiming the name of Jesus inserts a power and an authority into any situation and any circumstance. So Lord, that's the name in which we stand. It's the name under which we submit. And it's the name from which we get our own identity and meaning and purpose. So come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Lord, we thank you for 2020 or for 2019, whether it was a year that we can characterize as full of blessing or a year that we can characterize as full of trials. Lord, we just lift it up and thank you for it because we know that through it you are working. And Lord, before the clock ticks over, we say 2020 is yours. We lay it down. Any ambitions we have or plans we have, Lord, we just lay them down at your feet and say, do with them what you will. Lord, if it's your will that we carry on in that direction, we pray that you'd restore that to us and confirm it in our hearts. But if, God, you have a different plan and direction for us, God, please show us the way. Open up our ears to hear you, soften our hearts to receive from you, renew our minds to be like the mind of Christ, so that in all things and in every way we might glorify you, trust in you, and walk with you. Jesus, we declare that 2020 is the year of our Lord, as every year has been through all eternity. But Lord, today we just lay it before you, and we thank you for it in advance, however you're going to work, Lord God, through the good, through the challenging, it's all yours, and we will trust you, all for your glory and for your name. And once again, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come soon and take us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today.